Today on Off to the Races, millionaire Maryland-bred cord maker retires. His longtime jockey Victor Carrasco joins us. Colonial Downs opens. Nick Hahn was on hand. He'll tell us about it. Plus, expert handicapping from Laurel Park with Callie Francois, from Delaware Park with Stan Salter, news and more. All coming up on Off to the Races right now.
We're off to the races, powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for Mid-Atlantic racing and breeding. On the web at www.theracingbiz.com. And on the radio every Saturday morning, it's Off to the Races. Here's your host.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us here on Off to the Races. Thanks for spending a little bit of a Saturday morning with us. My name's Frank Vespi, and for the next 60 minutes, we're going to be talking thoroughbred racing and breeding in Maryland, across the Mid-Atlantic, and around the country. Today's show and every week's show, powered by The Racing Biz. TheRacingBiz.com is the website. Got the socials. Look for at The Racing Biz on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, whatnot, YouTube. Don't forget about YouTube. Lots of ways to find The Racing Biz. Also, free mobile app for your Apple and Android devices, so you can always stay up to date with the latest and greatest in Mid-Atlantic racing news. Got a lot to do today. You heard that on the show intro. We've got interviews with Callie Francois, with Stan Salter, with Nick Hahn, and with Victor Carrasco. Victor Carrasco is going to be talking with us about Cordmaker, the great Maryland-bred Cordmaker, retired earlier this week. So we'll be catching up for his reminiscences about Cordmaker. That's coming up at, say 10:10 or thereabouts. Now, we also have three stakes on tap at Laurel Park today. That's the Big Dreyfus in PG County. They're both scheduled for the turf. The Caesar's Wish, scheduled for the main track. At Delaware, there are two stakes, both scheduled for the turf. That's the Christiana for three-year-old girls, the Kent for three-year-old boys. In Colonial Downs, they're going to host four stakes for horses that were bred or sired in Virginia. So four Virginia-bred stakes. First stakes in the meet at Colonial, which kicked off this week. And we'll be talking about Colonial Downs more in just a little bit. But first, the news. Last Saturday, that was the Delaware Handicap, the Grade 2 $500,000 Delaware Handicap, and that race went to Idiomatic in an absolute thriller with Classy Edition.
It's Classy Edition running a huge race today. Idiomatic is right there and now takes a nose in front inside the final furlong in the Dell Cap. And Idiomatic inching away. Classy Edition battles back with everything she has. It's still Classy Edition. Idiomatic. Idiomatic. Classy Edition. Idiomatic got it and has won the Delaware Handicap.
Idiomatic is trained by Brad Cox for Judmont, now has six wins and nearly $775,000 in earnings from nine career starts. Florent Giroux in the irons. Idiomatic, a horse that you may want to keep your mind open to, might be making a little bit of noise in the distaff division down the road a piece as things start to get more serious and move towards the November Breeders' Cup. Now, one other race on that card that I do want to call your attention to. Here's a horse to keep an eye on. This is the horse that won the Dashing Beauty Stakes. Her name is Alva Starr, and she absolutely destroyed the field in the Dashing Beauty.
But Alva Starr is kicked away in the Dashing Beauty Stakes and has opened up a daylight lead, trying to hold second on the Boss of Me, lead on the scene Cheetah and Sweet Gracie. But Alva Starr came down with a polished performance today, and this was a sensational win from Alva Starr.
Alva Starr, a filly by Lord Nelson. She's just a three-year-old. She's trained by Brett Brinkman for Dale Ladner. She was facing her elders in this spot, and as I said, and as you just heard, absolutely crushed them. That was her first career stakes win. She now has two wins in 2 seconds from four career outings. Just one that you may want to keep an eye on, probably a little bit under the radar, more so, I'd say, than Idiomatic, but looks like plenty of upside for Alva Starr. And by the way, Josh Brown on those two calls from Delaware Park. Now, a couple other items I want to make note of. First off, Zabra Cadabra, trained by Gary Capuano, he skipped Delaware's Battery Park Stakes. He's one of several horses to be entered in and scratched from the Battery Park, but that probably was a smart move for him. He then thrashed a pretty good allowance field at Laurel last weekend. That was his third win in five starts this year, and the Battery Park went to the Grade 1 winner Doppelganger in a field. There were only three horses in the Battery Park. There was a Grade 1 winner, that was Doppelganger, who won. There was a Grade 3 winner in Riding with Biden. And then there was another horse, Forewarned, who has not won a graded stakes, but is a millionaire. So pretty good feel there. Zabra Cadabra zigged when they zagged. That probably was the right answer. Gets the money in a Laurel allowance. One last thing. At Charlestown, apprentice rider Adnel Bocachica earned his first career victory. Congratulations to him. He is the son of leading local rider Arnaldo Bocachica. Abnell took 67 tries to get that first one, but man, that had to feel good. He piloted Hovel, a horse named Hovel, to a worst-to-first victory in a Saturday claiming race for trainer Russell Davis. So Abnell Bocachica gets his first career win, got the traditional bath and other greeting, as the riders always kind of torture the new guy when he gets his first win. So welcome to the club, kid, is pretty much what they're saying there. Congratulations to Abnell Bocachica getting his first career victory. Shout out and thanks to our program supporters, several people who helped make this program go. I especially want to thank the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, Wanamakers.com online horse auction site, True Valor, he's the stallion standing at Northview Stallion Station, new stallion this year in Maryland, and finally Richard Hackerman, attorney at law, RichardHackerman.com, the website for your horse law needs, equine law and whatnot. So thanks to our program supporters. On today's show, as you heard at the top, we're going to start and end with Maryland. First up, going to be jockey Victor Carrasco to discuss the retirement of Maryland-bred millionaire Cordmaker. Then around 10:45 or so, Maryland racing analyst Callie Francois going to join us to discuss this afternoon's stakes at Laurel. In between, Nick Hahn's going to chat with us about this opening weekend of racing at Colonial. He's coming up right after Victor Carrasco, and Victor Carrasco just moments away now. And towards, 10:35, 10:40, Stan Salter going to stop by, handicap the stakes at Delaware Park. Looking ahead for the rest of the weekend's racing, Laurel Park Racing Live today and tomorrow, post time 12:25. Delaware Park Live today only, post time 12:30. Charlestown races tonight, post time 7 o'clock. Colonial Downs, as we've mentioned, and we'll discuss in more detail with Nick Hahn in a little bit. They're now live with a Thursday to Saturday schedule, post time 1:30 p.m. And of course, Saratoga kicked off its live meet this week at Well. And as I mentioned, going to have picks and analysis for all of those places every day of racing throughout this summer. Okay, let's talk Cordmaker for a minute. He's one of the best Maryland breds of recent vintage. The now 8-year-old Cordmaker earned a shade over $1 million with 14 wins from 39 career starts. Best of those wins came last year as a 7-year-old in the 2022 Grade 3 General George. That race capped a 4-race win streak his jockey that day. And for the overwhelming majority of his career, that was Victor Carrasco. Victor Carrasco joins us now as we remember the career of the now retired Cordmaker. Victor, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on Off to the Races. Word came down this week that Cordmaker, the Maryland bred millionaire, had been retired. Thoughts when you got that news?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you guys for having me. When I hear the news, I think I was one of the first persons to hear about it. And it was a rough moment. You know, Cordmaker has been very special to me and to my family. And yeah, it was It was pretty rough. It was pretty rough, but, you know, tough part of the business, the tough part of the business.
Yeah, it is a tough part of the business. You're right about that. Now, what is it? You know, he's a horse that made over $1 million, won a grade three, won the General George last year, won a bunch of stakes. What made him so special?
Well, as you said, I think he's one of the horses that took me the most to the winner's circle. So that's first. And I feel like him and I had a, you know, pretty special bond. Like, it seems like he tries for me, like, very, very hard all the time. And I could be wrong, but even Evelyn, the assistant for Jenkins, she believes that the horse didn't run for anybody else as much as he enjoyed running when I was riding him. So he was pretty special. He was an awesome horse with an awesome sense of humor. He was just amazing. That's the right word to describe him.
Now, you just said he had an awesome sense of humor. I wonder if you could talk about that for a minute. Like, how do you see that?
Yeah, you know, things were pretty much in the morning. Of course, I only have to get on him like once a week or once every 2 weeks. And he has his own routine. Things were done his way, like in the morning. I have to show up to the barn like 10, 15 minutes before the track open. So when they give me leg up, he had his spot that he stopped on the way to the track, like on the horse pad. He walked like 5 steps, and he stopped and looked at everything, and he walked another few steps. And there's nothing that you could do about it to make him move, because if you give him like a couple taps with the whip to get it going, he would be upset. He would, you know, start throwing his head everywhere. And it was just, as I say, things were done his way. Once he got to the track, same thing. He wanted to jog a little bit and then stop, and then he started going. And it was just, everything was his way. It's funny, once we get back from working, we go to the stall, and he used to go to the stall, and as soon as I get off, he would go straight off to the door to scratch his head all the time, even with the exercise riders. It was just something that I find funny. You know, he was just a character.
Now, you rode him in his very first start. He finished third that day, and then Cowboy Hamilton was on him when he broke his maiden next time out. When did you first start to think this horse might be something special?
Well, I remember me and the assistant for Mr. Jenkins, Evelyn, we had a good, you know, relationship, and every time that she thinks that there was a special horse, she would have been like, oh, Victor, I think we got a good one like we had in the past. I mean, they called me for Golden years ago, and then Flash Phelps, and then we ended up with this one. And I mean, the first couple of works, he was just amazing. I mean, the first couple of times that I was able to work in, I mean, he was going as a 2-year-old, half a mile in 47, and I was just on a lock. I mean, don't even move him. And he was just going so smooth and so nice. So they were pretty high on him from the beginning, and he didn't disappoint him.
Talking with jockey Victor Carrasco on the occasion of the retirement of Maryland-bred millionaire Cordmaker. One of the things I thought was really interesting about this horse, Victor, was, you know, he was a nice horse from the get-go, and, you know, he won a stake at the end of his 3-year-old year, but he was at his very best at the end of his 6-year-old and the beginning of his 7-year-old seasons. He won 4 stakes in a row. He won the General George in that streak. How, in your experience, unusual is it to find a horse really coming into his very best form at that age?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think you see that. I don't think, I haven't seen that too often. Like, Of course, most of the horses, you see them, like, get better when they maybe turn 4, maybe 5, the latest. But, I mean, as you say, when he turned 6, I mean, I think they gave him some time off. And when he came back, I mean, different horse, a monster. I mean, all he wanted to do was run, and it didn't matter the distance, short, long, one turn, two turns. It didn't matter. I mean, he became super good later on when he turned 6 and 7. And like I said, that doesn't, I don't think I've seen that too often, to be honest. I mean, he was just, as you say, on a roll. And every time when he wasn't winning, he was either 2nd or 3rd, running against even tougher competition in Pimlico Special and all the races.
Yeah, and you mentioned the special. He ran, I think, 3rd, maybe once or twice in the special, going 1 mile and 3/16, and then won a graded stake going 7/8, the General George. And what did it mean to you to get that kind of breakthrough in the General George with Cordmaker, who had been kind of knocking on the door of winning that kind of race for quite a while?
Yeah, I always said that I think that's, I mean, so far, that's the highlight of my career. I know some other people maybe said, oh, winning 1,000 races or Eclipse War or this other great stake. But I think winning that race with such a special horse that he is, I think that's, so far, as I said, that I think that's the highlight of my career. I mean, I got that picture in my house. You might don't believe it, but I only have 2 trophies in my house, and it's the Eclipse Award and it's the Grade 3 General George with Cordmaker. Other than that, that's all I carry at home, and it's just, I mean, special, very special.
Well, that's quite a statement there in itself. You won the 2013 Eclipse as the Champion Apprentice. You keep that, which is obviously a very nice honor, and the Grade 3 General George with Cordmaker. That's keeping pretty good company there for Cordmaker and that trophy.
Yes. The other one, I send them back to Puerto Rico to my grandparents, or I give them away to any fan that wants a trophy, or I don't get to keep all of them, you know. So yeah, it's pretty special day. They're sitting next to each other at home.
Now, you've been on a number of good horses over the years. You mentioned Flash Phelps, Shimmering Aspen, Golden Years, a bunch of good horses, particularly with the Jenkins Barn. Is this guy, and I think for a long time, I think Flash Phelps was kind of your number one guy. Is Cordmaker now your number one guy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I say so. I was very high on Flash Phelps. He was another one that it was complete the opposite of Cordmaker. Cordmaker was a little bit more, like I say, stopping and don't wanting to move and stuff like that. Flash Phelps was different. He wanted to balk and get strong and all of that. And he was pretty special too. I mean, he's still special, but I think he's nowhere near to Cordmaker at the moment. I mean, right now.
Now, Cordmaker, as I understand it, is about to head off to Dark Hollow Farm in Upperville, Maryland. Dave and Joanne Hayden run a top quality operation up there. Are you going to stop by one last time to see him off to his new life as a retiree?
Yes. I was told by Evelyn that he's going to be leaving between 8 and 9 on Sunday. So I'm planning of, you know, being there and giving my last hug. I mean, of course, I'm going to try my best to, whenever I have a day off or something, I can head up to the farm. And I know David and Joanne very well, and I'm sure they're going to welcome me with open arms anytime that I want to go over the farm and see him.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'd be happy to have Cordmaker reunited with his longtime jockey, Victor Carrasco. Victor, thanks so much for joining us here on Off to the Races and sharing your perspective on the great Cordmaker.
Yeah, thank you guys. As I say, thank you for having me, and thank you guys for really doing all of this work for such an awesome athlete, and hopefully he stays well and he stayed happy, and we can see him make it maybe in second career or something.
That was Victor Carrasco, regular pilot for the great Cordmaker. Cordmaker, the millionaire Maryland bred, retired earlier this week following a fourth place finish in a Laurel Park allowance, had his biggest win in the 2022 Grade 3 General George Stakes as a seven-year-old. Capped off, as Victor and I just discussed, a great run when he was 6 and 7 years old. Cordmaker was never better than he was during that period of time. Now, one place he only ran one time, he only ran once at this track that is in the Mid-Atlantic, and that is Colonial Downs. Just one start at Colonial Downs. That came in 2021 in the Victory Gallop Stakes, which he won on August 23rd, 2021. Colonial kicked off its 2023 meet here on Thursday, the first day of the meet, going to be 27 days of live racing in New Kent, Virginia, and that's going to be 27 days spread over 9 weeks. So the first week ending today, so they're going to be racing Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Colonial Downs. And nobody knows more about Colonial, its history, or its current configuration than Nick Hahn. Nick formerly worked for Colonial Downs, was their on-air guy for a while, ran an OTB. He has also been publishing the Nick's Picks tip sheet for many, many years. In fact, for the entirety of the Colonial Downs, of the track's existence, he is the host of our sister program, Off to the Races Virginia, which airs on ESPN Richmond and ESPN Harrisonburg. Here's my conversation with Nick Hahn about this opening weekend at Colonial Downs.
Nick, good morning. Thanks for joining me here on Off to the Races. So you've been at Colonial Downs the first couple days of the meet. Today, Saturday, is going to be the third. Just give us a sense here. I mean, one of the things that the Racing Commission wanted and that the new ownership, Churchill Downs Inc., was hoping for is that the shift from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to Thursday, Friday, Saturday might bring some more people out to the races. What has it looked like the first couple days of the meet, and what's the atmosphere been like out in New Kent?
Well, the heat showed up just in time, as you might expect in New Kent. Temperatures will stay above 90s throughout the meet. But it was a pretty good crowd on opening day. They were giving away the hats, and they had like a great little barbecue on the backstretch. And everybody is, despite the heat, pleased with the hospitality of it all. It was a little bit of a tough day for me on the track. There are a lot of new players. The fields, I think the cards have held up pretty good. Considering you have Saratoga, Laurel, and Colonial Downs basically running simultaneously, that was a bit of a concern. Factoring all that in, I think the fields have been good enough. They've gone back to their bread and butter, which is that turf course. We did finally get on the dirt today, or I should say yesterday, and looking for a big day on Saturday with the four stakes races.
So let's look at yesterday, or rather at Thursday for a moment, and a pretty interesting story you shared with me off air about a horse named Determined Sale. Tell us what the story there was with Determined Sale.
Phil Schoenthal, who has always had a certain amount of popularity at Colonial Downs, had a two-year-old in a very deep field, and he's watching the draw on Zoom, and as they're about to go through the list of horses, he realizes that Determined Soul, his horse, was not part of the field. And so he raises it. He says, "Hey, I'm being omitted here." They made the correction. His horse does get entered. And then he has to go find a jockey, and he can't find his – Victor Carrasco rides a lot of horses for him. He goes and he approaches a couple of other jockeys who already think, at least, that they're on a horse that can win for him. they don't really give his two-year-old a lot of chance. He was very encouraged by it. This is the homebred, the first homebred for the owner that's racing. And, of course, the horse wins at 30-1, and Schoenthal is magnanimous in the winner's circle, as he never really had a doubt. Sometimes you have to be a little determined to make sure that long shot happens, and that's the way it worked out for Schoenthal. He was basically the long shot that almost didn't happen.
Almost excluded, gets in, pick up mount for Antonio Gallardo, who gets the win. Gallardo, one of the early stories here for the first couple of days, he and Caramanos had three wins each. I think Caramanos might have gone on to four now, but a fast start for Gallardo, who has long been a stalwart at Tampa Bay. Nick, and so a good one there for Determined Sale. Now, if I name a horse from today, I want to get your, you know, off the cuff reaction here. The horse name is Air One.
Yeah, Air One was the savior for me because on opening day I went 0-9. That's something that has rarely happened for me at Colonial Downs, but you don't want to lay a goose egg on opening day. And as I walked out of the track yesterday, I was actually approached by a panhandler, and the panhandler comes up to me and I hand him my tip sheet, and he looks at the tip sheet and he gives me $20. Hey,
you're going to be here all week, aren't you? Oh man. So Air One wins pace 33-20. So that helps you get well in a hurry.
Yeah. Air One was a big win for me today. Gives me it actually brings me back up to par with another winner, big favorite that I had with Steve Klosaris, who had his. That's the interesting thing about Colonial Downs. It's off the beaten path, so when people finally find it, they're happy with it. They're really satisfied and pleased with what they find here when they finally get here. And Klosaris was of that mind earlier today. As he got into the winner's circle, he had only been to Colonial Downs once before, and that was 20 years ago, and I think he stayed here all but about 2 hours. So now that he has some stables here, there's been a little bit of shuffling. Michelle Lovell, who was a big fan of Colonial Downs in recent years, just couldn't make it work in terms of coming. So in terms of horses and trainers and people showing up and not showing up, there's been some give and take. But there's some, you know, Tomlinson's here, Stidham is here. You know, there's Ferris, the regulars are here with Ferris Allen. Kind of an interesting thing that happened yesterday, or actually this was opening day, was – In a two-year-old race, there was a horse that Karen Dennehy Godsey, she actually had two horses in this field. The horse flips over in the paddock and it hits the ground sort of hard, sort of lands on Karen's foot. And obviously the horse becomes scratched. You see the paddock judge go up and explain to her, and she like fully understands, you know, Karen, it was one of these things where the trainer did the right thing with the horse. The paddock judge, the racing official did the right thing. She apologized to the owner, Chris Kuhn, who was just happy that Karen was okay. And everybody did the right thing. Everybody did the right job. And the only reason I'm saying that is because it will get no publicity except for maybe right here. And it's just one of like 1,000 acts of kindness that happens on the racetrack every day that doesn't draw any attention in the media era that we're living in when it comes to racing.
Talking with Nick Hahn here. Nick's been at Colonial Downs. First couple of days of the meet, day three is set for today for Virginia Bred or Sired Stakes in the offing. You can read Nick's picks every day of the Colonial Meet on theracingbiz.com. And Nick, as I just mentioned, four stakes today at Colonial. And one of the interesting developments I thought was to see that the M. Tyson Gilpin Stakes has had a new name appended to it. It's now the Tyson Gilpin Glenn Petty Stakes. Good to see the longtime head of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association getting a little love in the naming of the stakes race.
Absolutely. Glenn Petty, who was the executive director of the VTA and held a couple of other titles, actually did a lot of freelance journalism in his own right. Glenn Petty passed. We lost him relatively recently, and they've added his name to the Tyson Gilpin Stakes. Tyson Gilpin was somebody that Glenn knew very well, and I'm sure his family is honored to be listed in this stakes race, which is the fourth race, 5.5 furlong turf sprint tomorrow or today at Colonial. That he's on the same line with Tyson Gilpin. That was really a great gesture.
Yeah, it seems like a nice move. Anything special that you're looking for out of the Saturday stakes? Again, all four Virginia bred or Virginia sired runners.
Yeah, it's kind of Karen Dennehy Godsey was not at the track today, but she will be there tomorrow. Everything sort of checked out. She has this first-time starter in the Tyson Gilpin named Chickahominy, sort of an interesting horse here. I actually like this Aisha RN. I like as Steve Asmussen is really sort of loaded up on these Virginia stakes. Chambeau, who is in this field as well, and that was sort of an interesting horse because Chambeau broke her maiden at Colonial Downs in her first start as a five-year-old.
In a stake, right?
Yeah. And we'll have Karamanis aboard. And the punchline, it's sort of an interesting field because you have Determined Kingdom, Boulder, and Embolden. Those are the 1, 2, 3 finishers from last year. So that's kind of interesting, I think, and look for very much the same result. I actually like Asmussen there as well with Boulder. And then you have the Brook Mead, where they'll be going a mile and a 16th. And I kind of like Brittany Russell's horse here, Soya. This is a horse that is a homebred of Morgan's Ford Farm, Wayne and Susie Chatfield Taylor, the organic thoroughbred breeders, if you will. They have a real good chance with this horse. And then in the Edward P. Evans, which is the seventh race on the card, which concludes the stake, a pretty deep field there. Passion Play is coming back to this race, but Gigante, I think, is very prominent here. So I'm going to be looking for Steve Asmussen to be at least represented in the winner's circle at Colonial Downs several times on the stakes card today.
Well, it sounds like if Steve Asmussen has a good day, then Nick Hahn's going to have a good day at the windows. Otherwise, we might be looking for another Air One to bail you out. Nick Hahn, thanks for joining me here on Off to the Races. Good luck this afternoon at Colonial Downs. I'm sure we'll be talking again, and thanks for the update on what's happening at Colonial.
Yeah, I went from Air Ball to Air One. Yeah, yeah, it was a great time, and enjoyed it.
Four Virginia bred stakes on the docket today at Colonial Downs. Nick Hahn will be there. We'll have coverage of those stakes and pictures and whatnot. And again, you can read Nick's picks every day of the Colonial Downs meet to get the latest news and info, plus picks and analysis for every race on every card. Nick's picks. Nobody's been following racing in New Kent longer than Nick Hahn. All right, let's look ahead now. We got stakes at Delaware Park today, stakes at Laurel Park. Callie Francois going to join me in 10 or 12 minutes and give us some analysis of the three stakes coming up this afternoon at Laurel Park. Two of them scheduled to be on the lawn, one on the main track. Two stakes also scheduled on the grass today at Delaware Park. That's the Kent Stakes and the Christiana. both for three-year-olds, the Christiana for three-year-old fillies going 9 furlongs, the Kent 11 furlongs for straight three-year-olds. So a couple of pretty interesting races there. The Kent was a grade three, has lost the grade, but still a pretty interesting heat. Talked with Stan Salter, Delaware Park racing analyst, a little bit earlier to get his take on these two stakes. Here is what Stan had to say. Stan, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on Off to the Races Radio. Two stakes on tap for the three-year-old set at Delaware Park today. We got the Kent, which closes the card race 8, the Christiana for three-year-old fillies. That's race 4. It's all concluding a pretty big series of 3 weekends in a row with the Delaware Oaks, the Delaware Handicap. These two races, a whole bunch of stakes, the first 3 Saturdays in Delaware this July. How has that been working out for everybody up there?
It's been great. The weather's been working out, so that's the main thing. We had real nice weather for Oaks Day and Del Cap last Saturday, so that brings out the big crowds, and we had the nice fields on the turf for both days, and so we especially need the nice weather this Saturday with these two three-year-old stakes on the turf, and we've had pretty good luck this week, not much rain. The turf has been listed soft all week, so we'll monitor that today. It might be soft once again, or at least it'll have some give in the ground. So we're hoping for some more cooperation with the weather like we've got in the past couple weeks. If we have a nice day weather-wise, then we should have another big crowd and some good racing. And race 4, the Christiana, that's a nice race that kicks off that late pick 5.
Well, let's dig right into the Christiana. It's a mile and an 8, three-year-old fillies, $150,000 on the line. And Miss Riddler for Eddie Keneally is your 9-5 favorite, Stan.
Yeah, she had a big allowance win wire-to-wire at Keeneland coming off the long layoff. That was her three-year-old debut. Then they threw her right into grade 3 company in the regret at Churchill going 9 furlongs. She got to the front that day and then got a little tired, got beat 6.5 lengths, 79 by her speed figure. That was a lifetime best. So no doubt it was a strong grade 3, so a credible race there. She'll be part of the early pace. She gets a 106 early time form rating. Eddie Keneally brings this filly in the town. She'll get a ground-saving trip on the inside with early speed, so we'll see how far she can go. I like a few others in here. The 5, Sabalenka for trainer Whitworth Beckman, coming from Kentucky. What a Kentucky name that is, right? Whitworth Beckman.
I was just thinking that.
You know he's from Kentucky. Nice name, and he's winning at 14% this year. And his filly, by Good Samaritan, the 5, Sabalenka, sells Sheldon Russell's going to ride, and she's been keeping grade 2, grade 3 company in all 3 of her races this year. She hasn't hit the board yet, but she's been running against some tough company down there at Keeneland and then 2 graded stakes at Churchill. She did have a nice allowance win at Churchill to wrap up her 2-year-old campaign last November. She went wire to wire that day. She hasn't made the lead in any of her stakes this year. We'll see if they try to chase the early pace in this race today with Russell. But she's been dancing with some tough customers. The 6, Hang the Moon, Daniel Centeno, one of our leading riders. It's him and Jamie Rodriguez going head-to-head for leading rider. Centeno on this filly by Uncle Mo from Michael Stidham. She was a real good third after having a couple months off. She came back in the Hilltop Black Eyed Susan Day down there at Pimlico. And she was a good third that day after getting bumped a little bit at the start. So that filly is going to be coming late. She's a well-bred filly. She cost $200,000 as a yearling at Keeneland September a couple years ago. So she's well-bred, and she's for strong connections. Stidham having a good meet. So the two outside fillies interest me here in the Christiana. Jamie Rose is on the 430. Val Kelvin, that horse has been running against stakes company. Ran okay last time in a grade 2, so you have to give that filly by Bolta Ora some consideration. The 3 is going to be a big long shot, and the 2 is going to be a big long shot as well. But still, there's some real nice 3-year-old fillies in here. I don't think it's a key. I don't think I can pick a single as far as the late pick five, I'll probably be going two or three deep in this race to kick off the late pick five.
All right, that is the $150,000 Christiana Stakes, and that's race four, starting the late pick five, as Stan mentioned. Now let's go to the other end of the late pick five, and that's race eight, and that is your nightcap, the $150,000 Kent Stakes for three-year-olds going a mile and 3/8, so a little bit of a stamina test here. And Freedom Trail is the 2-1 favorite, Stan, and sure has been keeping the right kind of company.
Yeah, comes to town here for trainer John Terranova, a 3-year-old colt by Collected. Jeremy Rose will ride Freedom Trail. This horse cost $150,000 last year at the OBS April sale as a 2-year-old. The 3-year-old campaign, they brought him back in a tough stake down there at Tampa off the layoff back on March 11th. He ran an okay fourth that day. It was a tough race. The place horse in that race, Mo Stash, came back to win. Freedom Trail got an 80 buyer speed figure that day. Then he got an 82 when he ran against Grade 3 Company at Keeneland on a good turf course. Got beat 4.5 lengths that day, but still earned a big number and earned 84 last out, going 9 furlongs on the turf at Belmont against Grade 2 Company. Got beat 3.25. Looks like that was a pretty strong race. The place horse in that race, Far Bridge, would come back to win. So, yeah, he's been running against some nice customers. We'll see if he can get the mile and 3/8 today. There's some other nice horses in here. Michael Maker, you always have to respect him on the turf. He has a 2 really good with Ruben Severo to ride his 3-year-old colt by Hardspun. This horse rallied to finish a good second last out on a yielding turf course at Hawthorne, going 9 furlongs against Stakes Company, earned a 73 buyer speed figure. So he showed that he likes the turf course with a little give in it. So he should like the soft turf course here at Delaware today. So then he'll get a ground-saving trip on the inside. So the 2 really good could be tough. Our leading rider, Daniel Centeno, he's on the 1 Regal Kent Kingdom for Grand Motion. You always have to respect Motion in these races. He has a nice colt by Animal Kingdom. The 1 Regal Kingdom is going to be a decent price, 6-1 morning line. Greg Sacco has the 4 Love Me Not at 8-1. Charlie Marquez will ride this horse, stepping up in the deep waters. His last couple races have been pretty decent. Nice win at Tampa, 2 back, and then 4th last out at Belmont with an 81 buyer speed figure. The horse that's kind of interesting is the Michael Stidham Godolphin homebred, the 5 Phileas Fogg. This horse won first time out last December at the Fairgrounds, ran a good second on a wet, fast track at Delaware late June against allowance companies by Australian sire Astern, who I believe was a Grade 1 winner on the turf over in Australia. I'll have to go double check that, but I'm pretty sure because I looked him up before.
Yep, he was.
Okay, yeah, so he was a Grade 1 winner on the turf at Australia. So the 5 Phileas Fogg has early speed, and he's by a big-time turf sire, so he might be interesting on the front end for strong connections. He's 8-1. The 6 Ocean City is a nice horse for Brittany Russell. How about all the American Pharaohs running lights out on the turf these days? Every time I look up, there's an American Pharaoh winning on the turf, and Ocean City's won 2 in a row on the turf, a nice maiden special weight win at Keeneland, wire-to-wire with a 83 buyer speed figure. Then he backed that up against allowance company here at Delaware late May, went right to the front that day and led all the way and got an 85 buyer speed figure for that win. That was the first start in the Brittany Russell barn. That was a lifetime best number. And he's coming into the race. He's been working up a storm here. July 2nd, nice 49-3 half mile work at Laurel. Then July 9th, Russell worked him a mile down there at Laurel. So the 6 Ocean City with Sheldon Russell aboard, he'll be part of the early pace, and he might try to take him the whole way. The 7 T-1, a 2-time winner going long on the turf, but Stack coming off the layoff, new barn change, and stepping up in the stakes company, so he's up against it. But yeah, there's 4 I think in here that are real solid with a good chance. The 2 really good, the 3 Freedom Trail, the 5 Phileas Fogg I think might be my top pick at 8-1 in this race, and the 6 Ocean City, I think might probably be my second pick in this spot.
Talking with Stan Salter, analyst at Delaware Park. And Stan, I feel like I'd be remiss in letting you go before just asking you. That was the Delaware Handicap last week ended up being some kind of horse race there between the top pair. They hooked up with about 3/8 to go and fought it all the way to the wire with Idiomatic finally getting ahead in front late. Your thoughts on the Delaware Handicap?
Yeah, two nice 4-year-old fillies, Idiomatic for Brad Cox. She's now a grade 2 winner, so it'll be interesting to see where she goes next. Her jockey, Florent Giroux, was pretty happy. He was real happy with the win, obviously, and thinks that the filly can make some big-time noise in the older filly and mare distaff division this year and maybe even in the Breeders' Cup this fall. A long way to go until then, but she's really good. She's bred to be really special. She's a homebred for Jeff Montfarm by Curlin, so she's living up to her breeding, and she's real nice. The Pletcher filly, classy edition, ran an awesome race and almost stole it down there on the inside with Kendra Carmel. She ran a big race, so it'll be interesting to see where both fillies end up next. Idiomatic, does she go to Kentucky for the Brad Cox string down there? I'm sure he probably has a string up at Saratoga, too. Does she maybe go up there? We'll see, and we'll see where Classy Edition goes for Pletcher. But, yeah, real nice. It was a big-time stretch battle between the two the grade 2, grade 1 potential fillies.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a fun race to watch. It was a good day at the races. Alva Star also impressed, winning the Dashing Beauty. Well, Stan Salter, thanks so much. Good luck this afternoon. Looking forward to seeing the Christiana and Kent Stakes today at Delaware Park.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Frank. We'll see you out here.
Well, we've reached the final segment here on Off to the Races Radio, powered by The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. And by the way, before we get to this final segment, you can see picks and analysis for Laurel Park, Charlestown, Delaware Park, and Colonial Downs, as well as Saratoga, every day of live racing through the summer on theracingbiz.com. You can also get it on the free mobile app for your Apple and Android devices, on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and whatnot. So lots of ways to keep up with the latest news and info in Mid-Atlantic racing. Lots of ways to get picks and analysis if you're looking to, you know, maybe put a couple bucks through the windows, take a little wager. And speaking of wagering here now, in the cleanup slot, gonna bring in Callie Francois. She is the racing analyst at Laurel Park. Gonna talk with her about 3 stakes on tap at Laurel today, all $100,000 contests, 1 on the main track, the Caesar's Wish, 2 on the turf, and well, let's have enough out of me. Let's bring in Callie and get some picks and analysis. And easy for me to say, analysis for the stakes today at Laurel Park. Joined here by Callie Francois here. 3 stakes on the docket at Laurel and a big yawn from Callie here. So
it's my post-lunch yawn.
Oh, sorry, not supposed to say that.
Post-lunch yawn.
So we got the Big Dreyfus, that's race 5. The Prince George's County is race 7. The Caesar's Wish, race 8. And the 2 turf races, the PG County and the Big Dreyfus, really came up salty, Callie.
They did. It took a while for me to come up with my final picks. And even still, there might be a last minute switch here, Frank. I think the office did a wonderful job in getting this quality for these stakes. Listen, we're small but mighty here. We pack a punch. And these 3 stakes are absolutely no different.
Yeah, no, good stuff here. So let's start with the Big Dreyfus, 1 1/8 for fillies and mares. $100,000 on the line, and the 2 kind of major players, not necessarily to say the ones you'll be picking, but are Sparkle Blue, a grade 3 winner last year, and Atomic Blonde, a group winner in Italy, beating Soper and Basilia, who just came back and won a grade 3 up at Delaware a couple weeks back.
Yeah, so they are the 2 that I go with. I take Sparkle Blue over Atomic Blonde, but the first thing I notice about Sparkle Blue is that as an individual, she's good 3rd off of the layoff, and that's exactly what she is gearing up into. So those key races to kind of delve into that, 6th of September, excuse me, the 28th of October and the 3rd of November of 2021. So those are some good examples to go off of. And I think in both of these efforts, just watching both of those runs at Churchill Downs, she's a bit too far back for where she needs to be. So you've got Georgie on her, who of course, and this is kind of, with a couple of these stakes, I kind of go with, okay, who's Georgie on? And then I kind of go, and then I circle a bit around that. I'm just I'm sure everybody's been really impressed with the way he's been riding lately, so ever so consistent. But last out too, Lovely Princess within that field was second next time out in the Indiana General Assembly Distaff. And then you go two back within that field for this filly. New Year's Eve was a good fourth in the Grade 1 Just a Game. Sweet Danny Girl was a third in the Mint Julep. Dieta was second in the New York Grade 1. And McCulloch was third in that same race in the graded one stakes New York one. So Sparkle Blue is what I go with.
All right, Sparkle Blue, Atomic Blonde, pretty interesting group of horses, eight of them lined up. Let's just touch very briefly on Coconut Cake,
yes.
Rallying winner in the Jamila for Maryland Breds. Going 6 furlongs, not really her shtick. She seems to want the two turns. Callie, what do you think about Coconut Cake?
Here's the thing. I think it depends on where this filly is at, because I think what's funny is she won at the mile and an eighth, but I've always loved this filly for particularly a mile, which I think the way our 6 furlong setup over here at Laurel is something that really, really helped Coconut Cake out. I really think that had not a lot to do with it, but I think when this filly's in good form, go ahead and stick with it. I fought with her on and off my ticket. I had her in my exacta, then I had her in fourth, and now I switched things around because my official order for now is Sparkle Blue, Atomic Blonde, and Candy Light and Community Adjusted. So sometimes this filly needs the bounce, can get her a little bit, so that's really the only reason I left her off. However, don't be deterred that, you know, Sheldon Russell's not taking the ride, and because William Humphrey is going to give a stellar ride on this filly.
And Sheldon's riding up at Delaware and stakes up there, mm-hmm. So... all right, that's the big Dreyfus Stakes. Been ahead a couple races to the PG County, also a mile and an eighth. This is for three-year-olds and up. Also 100,000 on the line. Royal Patronage, the 5-2 morning line favorite off a fifth place finish in the Grade 3 Arlington. Kind of an interesting group of sort of hard-knocking older runners here.
It was so hard. It was so hard. It was hard. I also want to touch on Camp Hope. I initially had that one, but I'm not sure I love the distance for this filly today. Royal Patronage, yes, my top selection as well. Once switched over to the barn of Graham Motion, ran a couple of times and was given some time. Returned to 2023 with a smartly ridden return by Joelle, but the field out of that pretty strong enough. Commandeer, fifth in the Grade 3 Mama. Tiberius Mercurius, winner next out. And Kapuna, consistent runner underneath. So, but then you refer back to that Arlington Stakes effort. Watching that race, when it came time to go, kind of got blocked around the eighth pole. And even after that, a tight enough finish. So I was impressed enough. So, sure, why not? Definitely the one to go for. So Fitz, I think it is also going to get the trip in this race.
But you also say, you said you like Camp Hope off the...
Actually, I don't.
You don't like Camp Hope.
No.
Well, do, don't. You know,
what about you?
Anybody else that you like in this spot?
Oh, yeah. So, Palo Alto, I think, just due to that one, I think that one is going to love getting that outside post. I think that's going to really play into a good effort. Of course, Georgie getting back on. He's been on this horse before, understanding that, hey, this one probably shouldn't be so far back. Like, and so you get the outside post, you get plenty of distance. This guy's going to go, you know, Georgie's going to go for it. And then underneath, I have Eons. Love Eons in this. I think this one is peaking at the right time and is going to get a good trip. But in that last effort, was a little bit blocked, was really getting into it the last few strides and galloped out in front. So I think this distance hits very well. And of course, big price, but Royn. I think Kerry is due for a win. They're just still run. Even if she hasn't gotten a win, they've been running so consistently. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have this Royne, who's 5-for-5, going 1-2 at Laurel Park.
Yeah, I thought Royne ran well last time. I think it was a loose on the lead horse that won, right? So
yes.
Dr. Davis. So
yes.
I thought that was a good effort. Good looking Ghost Zapper gelding there for Kerry Bryan.
Yep.
All right, now we're talking with Callie Francois, Maryland racing analyst, and one more stake. That's the $100,000 Caesar's Wish going a flat mile. That's one turn at Laurel. And Callie, the favorite here is Intrepid Daydream, and I never know what to make of this horse. She's like the little girl with the little curl, you know. When she's good, she's very, very good, and when she's not good, not so much.
And hey, she's that type, so that's just the type that she is, so you got to take a risk, and I am taking that risk. She's a full to Intrepid Dream, who won 4 of her 5 races, all of them routing. On top of that, in that routing win, that lone routing win that she had second time out, she won against Golden Effect, who for the most part has been consistent, but you have Gary Kapp, who's 4-for-4 in the money with the second time routers as of late, and then of course stretching them out 23% in second after the layoff. We know he's solid at this, so this is, it's just the way a lot of them have been going second off the layoff routing. This is just Gary Capuano's not bread and butter, but extreme strength. So you do have Jess's Dream, who is 19% with his second time router. So to me, everything adds up.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of positive stats that you just cited there. Second time of the season for Intrepid Daydream. You also have Hybrid Eclipse in here for Brittany Russell, Joe Rocco Jr. in the irons. This horse won the Nellie Morse a couple races back, going 2 turns. Hasn't run great since then.
Yeah, she's coming back to Defender title, which I really do. I love this distance for this filly, to be honest. But just, I think, has been a little bit unlucky in those last couple of starts. She broke a little bit slower than normal. Looks like they had to hold her tail in the gate, and that might have distracted her for a millisecond. That might have had something to do with that, and that's always going to throw him off a little bit. But she'll kind of had to stay on her on the backside, which she is. She's not really that type of filly, and she started getting on her early. I'm not sure she just loved the dynamic of what was going on. She went to her outside lead super early, and just she needs a little bit of comeuppance, but I'm concerned if it's going to be happening for tomorrow. It's going to come, but I'm just not sure if it's soon enough.
And I actually misspoke. The favorite in here is actually Award Wanted for Jerry Robb. This horse won the Obeya last time out. The horse she beat was the odds-on favorite Morning Match. It came back to be third in the Delaware Handicap. It's a big step forward for Award Wanted. What do you make of her in here?
I've been waiting. This filly is just a big girl, so I've been waiting for them to just kind of get her out front and just keep plodding, going along, because I really do think that that's going to be a lovely style for her. But she's consistent. Morning Macho, was third in the Grade 2 Delaware Handicap after that, but it's always the pattern change that I like. And I'm not one. She's not a need. What's great is that she's not a need the lead type. So I do think it just sets up well for her, where Angel's just going to send her. But a pattern change is something I always love. I do have her in second, because I just think Gary Kapp's going to be coming strong here. And the one-turn mile could set things up differently for her as well. I mean, she did win the Geisha, so she has that going for her. She's consistent at this distance, Frank.
Yeah, no, she runs pretty good races, and as you said, won the Geisha at this distance, and third in the Heavenly Cause also at this distance. All right, Callie Francois, thank you so much. Good luck.
Thanks, Frank. You too.
Well, that's going to do it. Another episode of Off to the Races Radio, powered by the Racing Biz, is in the books. Thanks so much for spending a little bit of your Saturday with us. We do appreciate it. Thanks to our show's supporters, including Richard Hackerman, attorney at law, the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, True Valor, Wanamaker's online horse auction site. Thanks to all our guests on this week's show, which featured jockey Victor Carrasco, Nick Hahn from Colonial Downs, Laurel Park racing analyst Callie Francois, and Delaware Park racing analyst Stan Salter. Keep up with racing and breeding all week long on The Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. You can tune in next Saturday at 10 a.m. here on Baltimore Positive to hear the independent voice from Mid-Atlantic Racing and Breeding. My name is Frank Vespi. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you in the winner's circle.